We are in a series about marriage and family. We have laid a foundation for family renovations. We started with three foundational stones to build on. One, the Lordship of Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and His Word, the Bible, as our guide. Two, commitment. And number three, communication. So here's what we're going to do for the next few weeks. We're going to get in the ring with marriage and we're going to fight for a healthy and happy, great marriage, which we all want and dream of. If you are single and one day hope to be married, or if you're dating and you're not sure if marriage is on the horizon or not, this message is still going to help you. Some of you are here not by accident. I believe God brought some of you here. You are barely hanging on. You barely hung on through the school year. You've been struggling with finances or intimacy issues. You've had communication difficulties for years. And you're at your emotional breaking point. Ready to give up. Ready to throw in the towel. But God has you here because He's not through with you yet. What I'm most excited about is I'm going to speak on what I think is the most important and the most powerful verse in all of the Bible when it comes to marriage. It's found in Ephesians 5, if you'd like to turn to that. And while you're turning, I'd like to set the stage for why this verse means so much in marriage. Every single one of us walks into marriage or any other relationship with a very distinct set of expectations. We have His expectations and her expectations. These expectations are basically what we would say to our spouse, "This is how I think you should behave. These are things I think you should do or shouldn't do. This is how I think you should act or the role I think you should play." The funny thing is, when we're dating, we don't talk about these expectations very much. And the reason is simple. When you're dating, you are so in love that you assume you really are on the same page. You think the same way. You see the world through the same lenses than you actually do. And then you get married. And these expectations have a way of rearing their ugly heads. And we start to realize maybe there is a big gap between these expectations. Let me tease out a couple of examples. One of the biggest examples is around the topic of intimacy. Now, men and women view this very, very differently, whether we believe it or not. For a lot of us guys, we think the intimacy calendar is going to look like this. And you notice it's the women that are laughing. Because for the women, they think the intimate calendar is going to look like this. Huh? I mean, he's just going to want to snuggle most nights, right? One of my favorite stories of misguided expectations comes from a friend a long time ago. It was early in his marriage. He bought his wife a $200 gift certificate from Victoria's Secret. He was so excited when she came home with the bags that had Victoria's Secret all over them. And he's thinking, "Oh yeah." Well, you know what he was thinking. And then she began pulling out of those bags $200 worth of sweatpants from Victoria's Secret. Now, I'm pretty sure that's not what he was thinking. Intimacy is one thing, but there are a lot of other things. How we decorate the home is different. For many of us guys, we think our home's going to be like a man cave filled with a lot of sports memorabilia. Go Wildcats, you know. Go Cubs. Go Cards. Yeah. She thinks she's Joanna Gaines, and we're going to be like Fixer Upper. Cute little things all over the house. And money, when it comes to money, money's a big one. How we're going to spend it, what a budget looks like, how much can I spend without not asking you, but at least sharing with you. She thinks it's a couple hundred dollars. He thinks that he can get away with a Chipotle bowl. And maybe it's like, when it comes to the trash, well, of course he's going to take out the trash. My daddy always took out the trash. And by the way, he always put a bag back in the can when he did. Yeah. And I know you're going to love cooking and cleaning and doing the laundry and dusting all by yourself, because that's what my mama used to do. Nobody's laughing there. What's the matter with that one? That wasn't funny, was it? How we communicate. See, in my house, we grew up with a megaphone. Sit down! Take out the trash! Do your homework! And she says, no, 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 no. When you disagree with someone, you actually talk quietly. You talk calmly and rationally and intelligently like an adult. And he's like, what? Well, that's dumb. One of the other big things and differences in our expectations, believe it or not, has to do with how we relax. When it comes to a day off, he wants to go out. He wants to go someplace. He wants to do something. She wants to stay home and watch a movie and do nothing. When it comes to vacation, he never wants to take one. Or if he does, he wants to go be adventurous and daring. She wants to go to the beach and relax with a book and get a tan. Now, maybe in your home, it's just the opposite. But what I want you to see is this gap in expectations happens in every single marriage. And in almost every other relationship, for that matter. I think I would put it this way. Most issues in marriage come when my expectations are not met. And the key word is my. When we get married or start any relationship, we don't usually go into it thinking, how can I meet your needs? We're thinking, hey, I just found someone who can meet my needs. Listen to how James 1 or 4 verse 1 says it. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? It's our expectations that are missed. And when my expectations are not met, I've got to make a decision. When your expectations don't get met in marriage or friendship or business or church, you have a few options. And I just want to show you a few options that a lot of people choose. Number one, leave. When your expectations are not met, you can say, well, fine. I'm just going to pack up all my expectations and I'm going to take them to someone else who will meet my expectations. Now, what's the problem with that? You're taking your expectation to someone else, and I hate to break the news to you, but there is no one out there who can meet all your
expectations. There will always be a gap. So outside of an abusive situation or infertility, no, fidelity, infidelity. Gosh, I knew I was going to do that. There is a difference in there. We don't have a problem with infertility here, okay? But outside an abusive situation or infidelity, leaving is not a good option. Now, if you don't leave, here's another option people choose. You could just give in. Usually, you see, in a relationship, there is one partner that ends up being more powerful than the other. And I don't mean strength. I mean someone is a better arguer. Someone who's going to power up and convince you over and over again that the way you view the world, the way you view your expectations is wrong. And eventually, if that person can convince you that you are wrong often enough, you begin to give in and say, well, fine, we'll just do it your way. And here's the thing, that can work for a little while. The reason why is because the tension comes down. We're not fighting about it anymore because I'll just give in. But listen, that never works in the long run. And you know why. Do you know how exhausting it is for someone else to try to be you? This is why you can see marriages and friendships, even in the church, that have existed for 20, 30 years, and all of a sudden someone leaves because that person is always giving in and they just couldn't put up with it anymore. A third option is the option I think most people go for because it sounds so good. Compromise. We think compromise in marriage looks like 50-50. In other words, I will meet one of your expectations if you meet one of my expectations. You'd be surprised how many marriages choose the compromise relationship. And that's not a lasting relationship. It's a relationship of convenience. And you know why, don't you? Because one feels like they always give more than the other one. And that doesn't last long before resentment starts to build up. And the feeling of being taken advantage of raises its ugly head. And that stirs the emotional pot. But the worst part of a compromised relationship is, think about your motive for compromising. I'm doing something for you, so you will do something back for me. And what would you call that? Selfish. And a selfish marriage never works. Now, there is a fourth option. And I'm going to tell you about that a little bit later on in the message. So what is the answer? The answer is found in one verse in Ephesians chapter 5. It's Ephesians 5:21. It is the secret to every great marriage. It's a verse that is skipped over. It is part of a series of verses that are skipped over, primarily because they're so misunderstood. You see, it starts off with what we feel is a no-no word in marriage. Here's how Ephesians 5:21 starts off. Submit. Yuck. When you hear the word submit, where does your mind automatically go? Yeah, for most people, it goes to women. If you've grown up in the church at all, you know there is a verse that has been misused by men forever. It's actually the very next verse, Ephesians 5:22. Here's what it says. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. That's all we remember. That's all we talk about. That's all we want the preacher to preach about in this whole section. But let me get you back up to verse 21. This is a summary statement of this entire package. Verse 21, let me show you who the word submit is written to. Submit to one another. This verse is not written to women. And it's not written to men. It's written to both. And what the Apostle Paul is telling us is the secret to a great marriage is that both of you decide you're going to submit to one another. To understand the power of this verse, you have to understand the meaning of the word submit. Submit simply means I will put my spouse's needs, wants, expectations above my own. Now here's where some of you want to push back. You're thinking, if that's what submit means, you can stop right there, Pastor David. I'm not going to do that. And here's why. Because your spouse doesn't deserve it. Right? You don't know my spouse. If they were worthy, if they treated me with just an ounce of respect and love, then I'd think about doing that, but they don't. So I'm not going to do that. And that's okay, you can think that. But let me show you how you would have written Ephesians 5:21. You would write it this way, submit to one another when they deserve it. Is that an echo or a commentary on the message? I don't know. But let me share you the rest of this verse because in my opinion, this is the most powerful part of this passage to understand. God never asks you to put your spouse's needs above your own because they deserve it. Watch why He asks you to submit to do it to each other. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I want you to submit to put your spouse's needs above your own out of respect. That's what the word means, out of respect for me. In other words, if you have a Christian marriage, and I know not all of us do, but if you have a Christian marriage, what you did was you invited a third person into your marriage, Jesus. And here's what Jesus would say to you and to me. Do you remember when I got down on my knees and washed my disciples' feet? Do you remember that? Yeah, of course. Did they deserve it? No. Do you remember when I climbed on a cross and died for your sins? Yeah. Did you deserve it? Then in marriage, I want you to take the same posture, that you would put your spouse's needs above your own, whether they deserve it or not. Now here's what some of us are thinking. Well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But you have to understand, if you are a Christian, and Jesus has given you everything when you didn't deserve it, He's just saying to you and me, go do likewise. In this one sentence, Ephesians 5:21, we're given the secret to every great marriage, and here it is. The most powerful principle in any great marriage is mutual submission. It's mutual. It's both parties deciding to do this. I'm going to lay down my expectations, and I'm only going to focus on yours. No, I'm going to do that. I'm going to lay down my expectations and only focus on yours. No, Barbie. No, I'm going to do that for you. No, I'm going to do that for you. And if we're going to get in the ring and fight about anything, we're only going to fight about who's going to try to out-submit the other. I heard one pastor say it this way. Marriage should be a submission competition. Some of you are thinking, I'd love to do that. but I want them to start first. You're missing the point. You're supposed to put their needs above yours, whether they deserve it or whether they start first or not. And that's so difficult. But that's okay. God gives us a few pieces of scripture right after this passage, and it's some advice for men and it's some advice for women. He starts with the women first. Verse 22, we just shared that one. It's a verse we know well. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. Don't do it because he deserves it. Do it as you do to the Lord. And I'm so glad that part of the verse ended up in Scripture, because I did an informal survey recently. And do you know how many husbands do not deserve for their wives to submit to them? 100%. It's true. And right after this, do you know what the Apostle Paul does? He tells women, I want to submit to your husbands because God made them the head of your household. Now, if you are a man who has used that verse as an excuse to be a dictator in your home, I want to tell you, that's just dumb. You don't understand this passage at all. To be the head, to be the leader in your household, is to be a servant leader, not a dictator leader. I actually like the way that Bible teacher Beth Moore says it. She says this, ladies, ladies, submission is you ducking so God can hit your husband. I think there's some truth to that. Because men, listen, all God is saying is every organization, every organism needs a point leader. Every team needs a head coach. Every football team needs a quarterback. And God was not going to leave the most important relationship in the whole world, marriage, to chance without there being a leader. So men, God has asked you to be that leader. But you must realize that means you are more responsible for making sure the relationship stays intact. You are responsible for making sure there is love involved. That's the responsibility put on men. So just a few verses later, men were given our command on how we are to practice mutual submission in our marriage. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now I know a lot of women will look at that verse and say, wait a minute. The word I got was submit. All he got was love. That ain't fair. If you ever thought that, you've misread the verse. The word love here is that word agape. Agape is a very specific type of love. It means you're going to love someone regardless of how they act and if they deserve it or not. It's the highest form of love. It's the type of love God has for us. And Jesus is saying, men, I want you to agape your wife just like I agape the church. You can't, or maybe you can, just imagine men in the first century church reading this passage and going, now wait a minute. I know the story of how Christ loved the church played out. Jesus ended up on a cross, dead. Yep. And that's the model for men. That you would continually lay down your lives to die to yourself, to die to your expectations for our wives. This passage uses 157 words to talk about mutual submission. 41 of them are to women. 116 of them are to men. That's a 75-25 split. Men, I'm only saying this to you to ask you to step up and to lead in this area of your marriage and your family. But don't miss this. It's mutual submission. It's both parties laying down your expectations for the other. Some of you are like, well, that just sounds so idealistic. If I submit to my spouse, if I lay down my expectations, if I give them an inch, they would take advantage of me in a big way. I have to keep a tight rein on them. I have to control them or everything will go out of hand. That sounds like an awesome relationship. Your only other option outside of mutual submission is that fourth option I skipped over earlier, and that is control. Trying to control another person is the hidden killer of so many marriages and other relationships, friendships, business partnerships, brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to show you a graph. On the one end is control, and on the other end is unconditional love. All you need to know is that control and unconditional love pull in two completely different directions. So you have to decide. You can have control. I'm going to control them. I'm going to make sure my needs are met. Or you can release control and work toward unconditional love. And releasing control is a risky endeavor. But watch your other options. Think about it. Leaving doesn't work. Giving in doesn't work. Compromising doesn't work. And control does not work. So the only other option is for you to lay down your expectations and to focus only on theirs. If you were to ask me, in our marriage, who is winning the submission competition, I would tell you in a humble and very blessed way, Barbie is. And I really mean that. And I'm saying that to you as men today to say I think I still have some work to do in this area. There's something I stumbled upon some time ago, and it's what I want to leave you with this morning, something I want you to take away with you. It's an exercise that will help us practice mutual submission. It's one question to ask each other and one ground rule. Now, when you lay down this ground rule, you don't ask just at any moment. When you lay down this ground rule and you ask this question, you need to be in a positive place. You need to be in a good mood. You don't need to be fighting. This will only fuel the flames. Here's the question. What is one thing I can do to serve you more? You're asking, what is one thing you would go to your expectation box? One thing that you would pull out and say, here is one thing you can do to serve me better. Now here's the hard part. This is the 100% cannot break it ground rule. You ready? Stop talking and listen. That's going to be so hard for some of you. But you literally do not give a rebuttal. And you do not argue anything they say. The point is just to hear from them how you can serve them more. Men, here's what some of you are thinking now. Oh, great, she's sitting right next to me. I'm going to have to ask her now. Ladies, can I just speak to you directly for a moment? You're going to have to be really patient when you ask this question. Because there is a 90% chance that when you ask him this question, his response will be nothing. You see, we men have this box in our brain called the nothing box. And we go to this box every single time. It takes men a little longer to process things. So would you just be patient with your man? So here's what I'm asking you. You need to find a time. It doesn't have to be today or this week. But find a time when both of you are in a good mood, things are right with the world, and one of you step up and take the lead and ask, "What can I do to serve you more?" And then stop talking and listen. And don't ask because I told you to. Ask because you really care about them and your relationship. It doesn't start with them, it starts with you. But sooner rather than later, it must be mutual submission. And all of that begins with your personal submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life and then in your relationships. Father God, this morning, I thank You that Your Word is so clear that in the beginning You created man, male and female. You created them. But in Your wisdom, You brought the two together. And You said, "This is very good." And You said that from that point on, a man would leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife, and they too should become one. It doesn't say we will make the other one like us. It doesn't say that the one will change the other to see things from their point of view all the time. It just says the two will grow and become one. Father, I believe the rest of Your Word teaches us that comes from mutual submission to one another, putting each other's needs before our own. And Father, we see the example of that in You so clearly. So help us with this endeavor. And above all, Father, help us to make that first step of submitting to Your Lordship in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.